Welcome to That's a Chunky. This is Kevin here with Jared, King of the Slams, and James, who is having a small heart attack for dancing as hard as he can on That's Chunky podcast. We are here tonight. Before we even get into the show, we want to take care of some important business. We have a live ad read tonight for Golden Key Prints. Really excited to read this. Golden Key Prints is run by graphic artist and printmaker Scott Holford. He has a number of designs inspired by I Think You Should Leave, screen printed on shirts and totes, and digitally printed on paper, greeting cards, and stickers. Visit his website to check it out at goldenkeyprints.myshopify.com. We'll have that in the show notes as well. And use code CHUNKY at checkout for an additional 10% off any order. I'm going to throw out my favorite. If you have a birthday in my family, you get a card that says every cock on the planet. That's a real card, Jared. And your gift is in a tote bag that's everything has sucked lately.
Oh, that's awesome.
So those are two items you guys can order from Golden Key Prints.
I'm gonna check it out.
I'm excited to have an advertiser. We do want to throw out, if you're interested in advertising on the show, you can reach out to us, That's Chunky, on Instagram, or figure out what you do at gmail.com. our prices are so low that though our podcast is allowed to hit at those prices.
We need to just make the podcast more complicated so we can, you know, justify higher prices.
That's true. And if you're thinking of advertising with us, we guarantee that we all look like you. in fact, when Jesse Robinson came from the TC Tuggers sort of like commercial, he figured out that Jared does kind of look like him.
It's absolutely true. We grew up approximately 10 miles apart, which was also, I wonder if, I haven't done the math here, but maybe we're related. I didn't even think about that.
It's virtually 23 and me. That.
Yeah, that's true. I will do that. Yeah. Are they a sponsor or should we just do it anyway?
No. Yeah, I'm going to edit that out, actually. James and I are seriously wondering if Jared went through an experience last week that was the basis for a sketch that Tim wrote. Jared, you went to a magic show.
I did.
He did not pull your little boy dick out.
He did not.
Does your wife still respect you? And is she making sure that the kids do still or don't also?
It's unclear. It was a great show. It was at a distillery. They did offer bourbon flights, as Kevin and I figured out. But I did have to drive, which is also true. So it was a great show. Great show. Highly recommend it. I don't know if I should plug the place because it's like right next door to my house. But
no, don't do that. No,
all right, I won't do it.
It's located right next to where they shot the Carl Winslow homicide detective.
Yeah, that's true.
Sketch.
That's absolutely true. But great show. Great show. I like comedy now. Magicians do not suck. And I was involved in some of the sketches. I was not made fun of. So I think that was a big step forward. He was a very positive comedian. Magician. So I don't think he ruined anyone's relationship with their spouse or their children, which is great.
That's great.
Do you think you made 10 times what he did?
Yeah, absolutely. but I didn't even need to tell him that because he was nice to me, so it was great.
That's a good point. So
well, that's a relief to hear. I'm glad that everything worked out well with that.
Yes, it was great. It was great.
I did laugh a little bit when James said, "Does your wife still respect you?" Implying that she did at the beginning, which is really good.
That is a good point.
Miami. No, Jared's wife loves him very much. I can attest to that. I went to maybe the most elaborate birthday party I've ever been to in my life.
Oh, that's true.
Which she threw in honor of you. So,
and were there any receipt mud pie incidents at the birthday party or anything?
I don't believe so, but Kevin did leave and take the party elsewhere at some point. So, and my wife did kiss him on the cheek, which was very upsetting.
But when I got there, she did not kiss Vinod on the cheek.
That's true. She absolutely did not kiss Vinod on the cheek.
All right, so we're going to start with just a little, I guess, like show and tell roundup. Before I get into what I've been into, James has sort of been living the I think you should leave life, I think, deeper than any of us. What's going on in the meme world, James?
Well, you know, I think there's still people are finding their feet among season three sketches. You know, I think very quickly the feed eggs sketch and, you know, you're looking at a nude egg kind of took the I think you should leave internet by storm very quickly. The drive-through sketch, which we had which we talked in depth about last episode, has also been like pretty heavily memed. And then the other big one is the Darmine doggy door has been getting a lot of excitement, to the point that one of the barometers for which sketches are kind of catching on or getting pushed is which stuff Netflix will post on YouTube or like post the full sketch somewhere. And so the nude egg and the Darmine doggy door both have gotten uploaded to YouTube and posted on Twitter and probably other places also. So I think those are kind of the ones that are clinging in, but there's a lot of driving crooner references happening, zipline references happening too. So that's kind of like the roundup of most memed ones right away. Oh, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but when Apple had their developer event a couple weeks ago, I think they revealed their upcoming VR and AR glasses or headsets. Yeah. So there was a lot of I don't know how to work the body jokes and like supermarket sweep things happening from that too. So yeah,
it's amazing. Yeah. Jared, what's on your mind from since you've last been on?
I'm watching this season a lot differently than the others. I'm doing a lot of like thinking about the sketch, and then I'll like search and find the sketch I want and bounce around a little bit, and then maybe watch the one like right after it. So I think like just sitting and going through all episodes, I've already probably been through it like two or three times total, but I've seen some sketches like 10 times. It's a weird experience, because I feel like I watched season two much differently, and even season one.
What's funny is I watched season two a lot like you're watching season three. And I think this season I've sort of just been letting it. So yeah, I watched season two sort of skipping around, and season three I've been sort of letting it play. But I just want to say our listeners, I think, probably all know about the I Think You Should Leave database, which is itysldb.com, where if you're watching on your sort of computer, it'll take you directly to the sketch you want to watch.
Yeah, that's a critical tool that I use a lot. Also, it's just helpful to have a list of all the sketches with a little image, just if I'm trying to like think about, you know, this is some behind the scenes meme inside baseball. But sometimes when there's a subject that I want to meme about, I'll scroll through that just like thinking, looking, having a visual inventory of all the sketches to kind of jog my memory about what could be used. So it's a great resource.
Is that website a sponsor?
No.
We're just giving out free airtime here.
But if someone wants to make another website that we should plug, you know, they can feel free to sponsor.
I'll make a competing website that, and then pay our very reasonable sponsor fees. Very reasonable.
I like it. So I wanted to, I don't want us to become like BuzzFeed and just like stealing things off Reddit for all of our stuff. But this is something I can't believe I never read before, which was, what are some good fantasy football team names related to I Think You Should Leave? Yes. There were a lot more than I wrote down. But here are some ones I thought were funny. Robohar said, Stable of Stars seems like a really good pick.
Oh, that's really good.
Waco Badger, the Shirt Brothers. The Noah Constrictor must have had George Kittle on his team. He said Kittle Buff Boys. Little Buff Boys was also a pick. Hockey and Trauma said Turbo Team, which seems like a pretty logical choice. Yeah. Vertebrae Jones said Dangerous Knights Crew.
Yeah.
8-Bit Orca said Tables. Bart Harley Jarvis Landry. and then the two that made me laugh the most were this guy's about to kick off. and 55 touchdowns, 55 sacks, 55 interceptions, 55 nice. Rushing yards, 155 passing yards from Solid Hair. So
very good choice.
Just wanted to shout out. We used to talk a lot about the Reddit board, and I stopped doing it so much just because I didn't want to like steal all their brilliance. It's not that I don't love it. I didn't want to be BuzzFeed, you know?
Sure.
It's okay. Yeah. You credited a lot of people there. That was great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I did my favorite one though. I forgot to write the name down. So apologies to whoever that was. I want to read a quick email we got from one of our listeners, Adam Escandel. I'm probably saying that wrong, but I tried. He said, love the interview with Steve Moulton, now desperate to see an extended version with his monologue. It also got me thinking about the difference between Tim throwing fake water at people as a marker of his fake beef with the other dude. Then that becomes real beef as he gets shushed. So he starts more aggressively throwing fake water, but he's less in trouble than Steve because Steve threw real water on him and also pulled on his hair plugs, which are fake hair. So kind of like this idea of what's real and what's fake is a running theme. The virtual reality world is fake, but Tim is told he's really in there, so he doesn't know how to make his fake body breathe. People are trying to make the drive-in crooner look fake because it only looks real from the exact right perspective. You can't tell Randall he's creative and interesting because if you do, he will fake see volcanoes and tiny pimps, but is he even faking? Fred Armisen thought the video of him beating the shit out of a small child would look real, but it actually looks fake. TK Jewelers is a scam. Their stuff is all fake. Patty has to get revenge against the cardboard cutout fake version of her boss. I'm not sure if there's something here, but the concept seems like it's really prevalent in the season. It's actually really striking how many sketches even have the word fake in it. So that's our brilliant listener of the day. We get a lot of really smart stuff from our listeners. And yeah, I think Adam's probably I don't know if Tim's exactly the type of person to make like a theme board or anything like that, but we can definitely see themes sort of happen throughout all of his comedy, as well as seasons of it. And I think everything Adam said there is right on point.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I can't think prior seasons, was something like that so prevalent? I mean, was fake prevalent? I don't think so. I mean,
nothing new. The only thing I can think of is in the Chunky sketch, he says, don't talk, the mouth on the thing doesn't move, it looks fake. But yeah, I don't know. Nothing immediately jumps to mind besides that.
Yeah, same. I want to say in Game Night, Tim Heidecker's character is talking about the can't. I feel like there's something he says in there about being real.
The Nutcracker wasn't good. No, but I don't think he said anything about that.
Yeah.
I guess there's a little elements of like a fake website with calico cut pants, kind of, but it's not really fake, but it's kind of fake. Like,
yeah. I don't like, I kind of feel like that's an email I don't have too much to add to. I'm just glad to have read it because I think it's right on.
Yeah, I like that.
And I think we should think more about this for a future episode, but I was watching with my wife the other day and she was kind of pointing out that it would be fun to figure out which characters are sort of the same across multiple sketches. Yeah. So like, obviously people think Reggie might be on the Larboard Oaks tour. It seems like the inventor of the Darmine doggy door may have also invented the Carver reputation bag.
Yeah, I like that.
That's possible.
That's one that hit me the other day, but we'll do a little more investigation into that. We'd love to credit some readers if they already have that in mind.
Wait, is your wife a sponsor? Because otherwise bleep her out of this.
She is maybe more of a sponsor than anybody of the show.
That's true. She can stay. She can stay.
Just by the fact that we've managed this many episodes. I have two little kids, and somehow here I am talking about the world of Tim Robinson. All right, so I think what we're gonna do first is we're gonna try to pick our combined five favorite sketches of the season so far. I don't think we're gonna go into particular order unless we feel like there's some easy tiering to do. But I just know on my reflection right now, this season is really challenging. I feel like the floor is really high. I don't even think there's a sketch that I consciously skip right now. In the past, there definitely was. I would often end up going back to them and start to love them later. But right now, it's just, I like them all. So I think, Jared, I'm just going to ask you to throw out what your favorite one or two is and see if we have any overlap right off the bat.
Sure. I've mentioned this, I think, in passing before, but I love Jelly Bean. I think it's Tim at his absolute best, just like trying to do his thing and then these people disrupting him. And he like has like he really tries to fight the fuse. And then over the course of it, it just keeps getting worse and worse. And then at the end, he's like just shouting. I love the like the frat and bachelor party thing. Like, it's just so funny. Like when he's like lamenting, it's just like when I started this thing, someone told me like it would be all frats and bachelor party, you know, like he's just like, and now it's all frats and bachelor party. I love him pulling up in that old ass car and getting out in his thing, and all those people are standing there screaming
at showtime.
I know. And like, it's funny, like going back to the trailer, like just not giving anything away, like looking at that scene alone, which was in the trailer, I don't know. I never would have guessed it led to that. Cause it kind of looks like he likes it, you know, cause he likes the attention. But then when he's in there and they're yelling at him, it's just, it's so funny.
Yeah. I think the whole trailer, by the way, was all misleading.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love Jelly Bean. I love like the whole premise of like, just because like even the setup, and I kind of got to the end too fast. It's like, there are shows like this, like goofy one man shows where you're just like, and the audience in like the previews of it, like they look like they're enjoying it and they went there for it. And then it became like this, like the premise is, I won't talk, you get money, but don't like, I never talk. But he does. Cause then it's like, what is that? What are you doing? And it's just like, it's so obvious what he was doing. And then he's like, it's a rink. I love the one at the end where it's a cup. He's like, it's a cup. It's just like Tim at his best.
It starts out with the sort of like promo voiceover talking and like the words on the screen that is like, presenting it almost like it's like high art or like the, you know, this like lost art, and this guy is sort of reviving it and whatever. So it's a great like example of the sketch starting out very kind of highbrow and then devolving, just like kind of like the commercial ones do, where you know it fits a very specific style of promo.
There's some real character development in that one. That character has a long history, I think, in Tim's head.
With the photo of him as like Charlie Chaplin, it's just like I think it's incredibly well done. I love this, like the storytelling, the speed of it, the acceleration of his anger. And I've gone back and watched that like a ton, and it makes me cackle every single time. And the second one, which I think you guys may end up talking more, Zipline. The Zipline bachelor type setup, what is it called? Summer Love or something?
Summer Loving, I think.
Summer Loving, which is a great, like, just perfect dating show name. and then just the Zipline and like Adventure 365, which is a phenomenal name for the Zipline company. I like him battling with the Zipline guy. The Zipline guy was great. We should get
him. He was.
I think we talked. Yeah, we talked about. And then just like the woman. I mean, like everything is like funny. Like when he starts turning on the other competitors. I think
that's really funny.
And then they're all just kind of like not like shaking their head and stuff. But like, and then he starts to devolve too into like crying and like. Being afraid of what he has to go back home to. And she's like, oh, what do you have to go home to? Like, she actually like cared to ask. But, and the image of him on the zip line is just too fucking funny. And I think it's hilarious. He wears like a swim shirt at one of his dating shows where it's just like dudes who are just ripped. Totally. It's so funny. Yeah. But those are my top two. I think I'll agree on a lot of the other ones. But those are the ones that I keep going back to.
Yeah, I would say the zipline one is one that immediately like clicked for me. Yeah. I think in part because I have been sometimes passively or by force and sometimes willingly a viewer of the Bachelor and Bachelorette series.
Oh, yeah. I've watched some past seasons.
And so I think the way that they very pitch perfectly replicated the style and like editing and cuts and like mood music and stuff was great. Also just like from the jump. And then of course, like a running theme on those shows is like whether people are there for the right reasons and like the kind of connections they make with the other contestants too. And so having him like be not there for the right reasons, quote unquote, but it being that he's there for the zip line is such a great take on that. And then also it's like split into two pieces, right? Later on, there's the one where it's like the saying farewell to him from the show. There's like a short sketch and it's basically just like a montage of clips of him, but it's just on the zip line and there's, you know, a soaring guitar solo that's
the guitar is really ridiculous on that sketch. Really. They intentionally make it kind of crazy at the end. It's very funny.
I love
the interview where he says he wants to be alone forever, which is also a great line.
That's the funny part. And he like knows there's cameras there.
Because most of those like dating show ones, it's like, oh, I have a girlfriend back at home, or like I'm not going to tell them I was married before and it's stuff. And like his confession is, I want to be alone forever, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I kind of thought it would be hacky if he did a like a ripoff of like a pop culture thing, but like it really works. I think he does it so well, and it's produced well. Yeah. I love when he's rushing through the food because they made him eat, and the guy's asking like, "Hey, so what do you think of connection?" He's like, "Good," and then he just like gets up, and then it shows him going into the water again. It's so good.
Amazing.
Yeah. I would guess if you were to ask the question we're trying to answer across like all the fans of the show, that would definitely be one of the top five. Not that we have to pick what they pick,
right.
But I think that would be a pick. James, you want to throw another one out there that you're a fan of?
Yeah, it's tough to narrow them down. I was making a list earlier today of just like of of season three sketches that would maybe be like either my top handful or the ones that I'm seeing like as the most popular or referenced the most in memes and stuff. And I ended up like listing, I think, half of this. It was like 13 sketches that I was listing at. And so then I had to kind of go back through. But I think the Darmine Doggy Door is probably got to be in my top five. I think it's, I think the, just the, well, on first watch, when like the monster comes in and it just cuts, you know, there's like the video of it and then it cuts back to Tim just going, "What the fuck?" Like, like visibly shaken by what he like clearly saw, and you don't really know what's going on. And then he talks about like, "'Cause I saw that thing. That seemed real," or whatever. I think so, that's a weird sketch that kind of like you don't really get what's going on first watch, and then on second and third and fourth it really like grows a lot.
So I don't want to make everyone mad, don't want to be a socialist, but that sketch might be the best piece of like anti-capitalism TV in the history of television. Because okay, I'm gonna tell you where, you know how sometimes we try to figure out where Tim comes up with these sketches. Mm-hmm. I know I am in the I've got COVID twice, and both times I got it, I had the thought of like, oh, I get to take a couple days off from work. And I'm gonna guess, I can't be sure, but I'm gonna guess that was one of the things that helped him write that sketch. And obviously getting COVID is less deadly than getting eaten by that thing. I think that sketch is definitely in my top five. There's a lot of different elements of comedy in there, not to mention like just some of the, like, you know, we know Tim always writes and there's like a deeper sort of like purpose of the sketch, but also just like the sight gag of the guy on the trampoline. It's like really funny.
I like that it was I forget the exact phrasing, but it's basically an argument over property lines, but the property line issue is that the trampoline is like partially over the property line
on his bushes. That sketch offers a lot, including the chance for all of us to have a nightmare.
I also continuing the theme of this episode of inadvertently plugging non-sponsors, website Vulture has had a series of several like sort of features on the show. They had the most recent one that ties into this is a kind of deep dive into the creation of the monster costume and like how they developed the design and built the thing and the, you know, the people inside it and everything. And I think there have been a couple other features on that on other sites too, but and they're all worth reading. It's very, very like interesting to see how they constructed that suit. It's basically like a contortionist is inside it, and she's like kind of sewn into it more or less, and kind of, you know, her back legs are fully bent to create the legs, like she's walking on her knees and elbows, so it sounded like completely like something I could never possibly do. And so they get into like how they built that, how she operated it, how they designed the whole thing. It's a really good piece that I think was well done, because that sketch has really kind of like, I think, stuck in a lot of people's minds. It's hard to get that monster out of your head.
Couple comments. One is, James, you just mentioned Vulture, so you can plug your own article, but that's fine. Second, I'm going to try to go as that for Halloween. So I'm going to start working on contorting my legs. Yeah. to fit in the back legs of the costume. So,
yeah.
And if any sponsor wants to make that costume, we will plug it for a very reasonable fee.
$5.
Yeah, right. The line about like being eaten and then thinking you don't have to go to work tomorrow, like that's pretty, it's pretty dark. It's pretty brilliant. Because I've seen that on just other things, like clips of things, and I just like think about it. I'm like, yeah, damn, it's harsh.
One other note on that one is a line that has definitely like stuck in a lot of people's minds is the very end of it, which even is the only place I think this season where subtitles show up, even if you don't have subtitles on, is when he says like, for 50 seconds, I thought there was monsters on the world, which is one of those like great turns of phrase that doesn't really make sense, but is like incredibly funny still.
I'm going to throw out a few that I enjoy a lot, but I think the community probably thinks they're like outside the top five. And I want to see if any of them have any merit. So before we like go deep in anything, I'm just going to throw out the names. So I really enjoy the Jelly Utah sketch. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy the friend group sketch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also I think just in general in the show, I like all the Heidecker sketches more than the general consensus. So I also like Club Haunted House a lot. Do any of those three have actual we don't need any niceties here. They're all very solid sketches. Can any of those crack the top five legitimately?
I think they're on Heidecker. Heidecker was in my honorable mention
pool. Okay.
I was going to say that was one of the ones that I was strongly considering for my top five also. But before we go deep into talking about that one, the other two you mentioned were I like those a lot too. I think they're, they fall into kind of a category that with the Calico Cut Pants.
Yeah, sketch, very which, much.
Which I was actually thinking about this because someone posted on Twitter just saying that they really thought it would be great to see a Jordan Peele movie where Tim Robinson played like a sort of evil character or like the villain of something. And so with those three, you can really see him being this person who kind of either through coercion or like just sort of, you know, giving people like a something that they're looking for kind of amasses some creepy following of 200 friends who are paying to be in his friend group or whatever.
Fraternity.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
But I think all three of those, he's sort of playing this like little bit like unhinged kind of guy. And so it's a little bit of a flash of, you could see him kind of playing that kind of like villain role with maybe a little bit toned down humor, but still the kind of like bizarre personality backing it up.
What about in friend group when he uses the word squoze?
Yeah. That was one also. I'm like convinced, 100% convinced that that's something one of his kids said it once. And then he decided to work in as like a kid made up past tense of a word.
Sorry, Jared, what were you saying?
Oh, I was going to say that theme of him being kind of like an enemy. He's like that in the Jason Schwartzman one as well. Yeah,
totally, totally.
Which is actually kind of an honorable mention on mine too.
Solid.
I agree.
That sketch goes, I mean, it's also a longer sketch and it kind of develops and changes a little bit. And like, I was just thinking about just the message about it, like just talking about your kids at a work event. And then like when he can't do it, he becomes like his boss tells him he's great and he can part, you know, like he has this like, great experience. And it kind of made me think like, God, at work events, if I mention my kids, am I setting my career back? I think Tim's a good villain in that too. It's weird. Tim does, like, he could be a scary ass like villain in a horror movie for sure.
Yeah. Like, and I think in like the Jelly Utah one, he's like a very pure villain. Yeah. And it's like, It's very convincing, and I think the sort of subject of his bullying is really good, like how his anger sort of progresses. Yeah. That actor really crushes it. It also features the part where he's like, what was he talking about? And he's like, fingering. Which is, I don't know why that's so funny, but it is. Jordan Peele with Tim Robinson as the villain, I think would be a really big deal. All right, so I'm gonna keep Club Haunted House in our thoughts. I think it's really again, there's like the general sort of interplay between them is really amazing, but then just the little gags with like the Kim Kardashian's head came off.
The letting him in but not his wife.
Yeah, I know, that was great too.
The names of the clubs.
Just the repeating of like, I actually want to go to Haunted House more than I want to go to Aqua. Yeah, I know.
Somehow. Heidegger is like such a pro of sketch comedy. His crew is really cranking it out for a long time. And I don't mean that's why his heart rate was spiking. We had I think one that we haven't talked a lot about that I think it would be hard not to pick Driving Crooner.
Yeah.
Jared, tell us why we should. I'm just not there yet. I mean, okay. I watched it again tonight because I knew you had texted Shane with the enemy of the podcast, Vinod, and he liked Driving Crooner, which made me want to hate it.
Oh, that's a good point, actually.
No, but I knew you really liked it because you said it was one of your favorite, Kevin. And I don't know. I like it. It's just not like...
Not top five for you.
It's not top five.
Vinod thinks the frat boys are the good guys, by the way, in that
one. and he hopes that they kill. I like it. It's just not like, it's goofy. It's more on the goofier side to me than the like.
It also, profile. It doesn't know. Have, it's simple, right? It doesn't have as much developing or like sort of layers to it. It's
true.
It is a little bit. It does benefit from a couple rewatches because the first time you really don't know what the fuck's going on for like the first half of it. and then rewatching it, you get a little bit of like a boost now that you like know what's going on and can enjoy that part of it. But it does feel, you know, some of the sketches are just kind of like there's a concept and it's executed, but there's not like a lot of like twists or whatever to like to this sketch, and so I feel like this fits in with that, where it's very funny, but I can see Jared, you're like kind of you know,
I can see it too.
Well, I do like it. As I just said, it's not profound. I love at the end where he's saying that like when he was a kid he fell in the water and a fish bumped him out with his head. And then he knew it was his life's calling to do this or whatever, which I could see. Like, I was just like, people, you know, think they have a calling for this certain thing. And what if it's like a dumb business where you put a cigar and a hat on your window and you think that that's going to be like your like purpose on life?
Do we think that, I guess this might be another sketch where the premise is fairly simple, but well executed, is Pay It Forward in the top five?
Oh yeah, I think okay. so.
I think so.
All right.
And by the way, one thing that I haven't talked about with any of you yet, Alcohol Class, which is just like the funniest. Like, I don't know. I've never heard those two words put together that way, but it's so fucking funny when he's just talking about like what he has to do that day. It's great.
So just to throw it out there, not in the way you might expect, but I have taken Alcohol Class. Last year I worked at an event where I was serving people alcohol and I had to take a class
on how to like make drinks.
Alcohol. No, it's just alcohol safety really.
Oh, really?
And it's about like fake IDs and like things like that. What to notice. The whole premise is like that you know, servers can be held liable.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I took an alcohol like certification course last year.
Did
so.
You do something nice for someone that morning before alcohol?
My class was actually online. And I think I actually did it while I had COVID, just to tie it all together.
Man,
wow. Yeah, I don't think that's the type of alcohol class Tim is referring to in the sketch.
Well, it could be anything. It could be like a DUI class. It could be rehab. I mean, it could be like, you know, a lot of.
I think it's a DUI class. yeah. Also, I called. I almost like felt bad doing this, but I felt like I had to. I called Next Burger in Downey, California, which is where that sketch was shot. And I just asked the gentleman who picked up the phone, like, have you got any weird sort of like pranks on the drive through? And he said it's happened only once or twice.
Wow.
So I was, and I'm not encouraging people to go do that. I worked in the fast food industry. Like, those people deal with enough bullshit. So as much as it would be really, really funny, I encourage you to not do that.
Well, I feel like the community, I'm not surprised to hear that it doesn't happen a lot, because the community is pretty good natured and they, you know, just to do the joke. I feel like if they did it, they probably just started off like, oh, 55, you know, and then they're like, oh, I'm just kidding, you know, like,
I'll and then like make a real order.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, no one could stop you from going to a fancy steakhouse and ordering a 16-ounce
steak. Oh, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. And we encourage anyone to go to any steakhouse to do that.
All right, so let's see, some others.
By the way, on Pay It Forward, I love how he gets out at the when he realizes he can get out of the car and he's like, oh, I can get out and run. Like, that's just such like a perfect ending to that. It's like, it makes no sense.
Yeah, especially because he's kind of at that moment getting his way. The other guy's like,
I know give in, the guy's backing down.
Yeah
That is a behavior I've witnessed, sort of like in Idiots, though, where they're like not aware of how things are trending and they just can't really read a room. So I like what he did with that. All right. I feel like we have a solid three with Summer Lovin', Darmine Doggy Door, Pay It Forward. There's a lot of really good ones we haven't mentioned. I sort of want to, if you guys go deep right now and figure out the one omission that really bothers you, where are we at? You know, there's a lot of really good sketches left. Obviously, I think for Jared would probably say Jelly Bean.
Yeah, Jelly Bean means a lot to me. I haven't talked about L&L Limos yet, like the studio audience. That I really enjoy.
It's a really clever sketch.
And I like how the whole, like, the producers and the cast members are, like, really, like, invested in his story. And then they're like, okay, well, yeah, you can say some of this stuff. Like, it's just like, and then the premise of what happened to him on this date is hilarious. Like, I love the Super Bowl ring detail.
It's literal. I like the way they play it in, like live speed, kind of like there's a lot of setup for it, and then you actually sort of see the montage of it or whatever. It's really clever. I like that one too.
That one's also, I feel like, is growing a little bit on me the more I watch it, and I think it also is one that pays off on rewatch, because you know, like, once you've seen it once, then you get it better on the rewatch too. So I definitely would encourage rewatches of that one too. I'm trying to think of which one is my like high top one that we haven't talked about. I think there's kind of two for me that would, I think we've hit all the ones that would definitely be in my top five. So now I'm to like a couple that I think maybe could be there.
Maybe I can help you pick between the two.
So one of them is almost obligatory because it is great, but I also think I have a hard time deciding whether it would be in my top five because of similar to the Driving Crooner, where there's kind of like it has a very great punch, but I don't know if it has the staying power of some of the others. And that's the Egg Game sketch.
Yeah, that's on my list too.
Yeah. So I feel like it right now feels like a top five, but it's one that I feel like maybe in a few months will slip out as other ones kind of move up. But I think that one, and then the other one that's in contention for me is the Barley Tonight on his phone and debating. I like that one a lot.
I like Barley Tonight too. That's a really tough choice. I think Egg Game is really funny. I also think we're associating like the fact that the game really got made.
It's right.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Part of the humor for us. I don't know. It's really tough between those two for me. Man, I thought I'd be able to help. I think Barley Tonight is a really funny premise, and it's just like, really, it rings really true from experiences I've had in the real world.
Yeah,
I think I would give the nod to Barley Tonight, but I'm not totally sure.
I think that's where I lean too, because I think it does a little bit more. It does like humor of like parodying the kind of abrasive political talk show host while also making fun of people who can't look away from their phone through anything or like hold a conversation. It also does like just sort of
on its phone right now. I knew that.
Yeah. I'm reading some of my notes off of my phone. Yep. Yeah, and it also like it does the structure of like him sort of just veering into describing like the way that he operates and moves things over onto his phone and saves pictures in a sort of like describing everyday things that people do, but also in a, like a little bit of an uncanny kind of weird manner. I don't know. I think there's a lot of good content to it. And it's also, I don't know, there's the ones where Tim is just kind of standing and kind of hamming it up, yelling or like presenting a promo are also kind of a classic format, and that one does it very well.
So would you take either of those ones or Club Haunted House?
I think probably Club Haunted House above those would be my pick.
Yeah, I think all so right. too.
And then, all right, I'm penciling that one in. By the way, we haven't really talked about one that I don't know. I think it's multifaceted a little bit. You Can't Park on the Sidewalk has a lot of funny gags in it.
Yeah.
That one's a roller coaster for sure.
Yeah, and Will Forte just is always really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one does a great job of stacking a bunch of gags in it very densely and kind of somehow combining them things together in a way that like is shocking how much like the put his hand in dog shit like at the end, the like he's screaming and she's like, I said without hurting it, he's like, oh I thought you said with hurting it.
Yeah, that's a funny line. And then just even at the end, the way he's sort of like banging his hands on the ground. Yeah. I like wondered if they had sped up the tape, but I rewatched it. The other people are moving at the time, and I just think it's Will Forte being a madman. But all right, so I'm giving Jared number five, Jelly Bean, which again I think is really, really funny, and I'm gonna watch it some more tonight just to sort of
about Jelly Bean.
So I think our top five, and again, I want to point out that this season's really hard. There's a ton of parody among the sketches, but we're going Summer Lovin', Darmine Doggy Door, Pay It Forward, Club Haunted House, and Jelly Bean. But yeah, the next five might be like as good as those five. I don't know. And as we know, I think you should leave. Our opinions change throughout rewatching. Like when I voted season one for Baby of the Year over Focus Group. I still love both sketches, but I think Focus Group is better now.
I'm still Baby of the Year, I think.
Wow, okay. that's interesting. I wonder if we could... Was Ruben Rabassa so good in season one that they can never have him back? Like, one of those typecasting things?
Yeah, I don't know. Could be. He's also a big Marvel movie star now.
That's true.
Oh, that's true. He's got the... And the Father of the Bride money.
Yeah.
Rolling in.
Who is he? Thor?
Yeah, I think he's Thor.
If they shot Thor with him in the leading role, I would actually see it.
Oh yeah, I would be there.
Because that would be the funniest movie ever. All right,
he's just got that Viking look to him, you know,
a little bit.
True.
Tough beard.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully we're still in the process of booking some more guests. I think we might have someone on deck. I don't want to give it away. I don't know. What do you guys got to close out the show?
I'll give a couple of I mentioned a couple of the sketches that we talked about are kind of rising for me. A couple that I think could be doing that. These are kind of like, growing on me, or like it could be like buy stock now kind of thing, are photo booth Tim Meadows with the feather and the I wish I could get inside that guy's head, he keeps pointing at things and saying there are other things.
The pimp
in the that's an interesting one.
I think that one is a little bit almost like reminds me of a couple of the other ones in past seasons where it's almost like you've feel a little bit bad for the person, and it has a little bit of like a sentimental vibe to it. And so I kind of like that one's one that I'm getting a little bit of a soft spot for.
I feel like the sort of other main actor in that sketch is really good. It's almost got like a rom-com feel to it. Jared, what's your which sketches are you watching for like potential growth?
I think I don't know. I mostly just watch Jelly Bean over and over again. I was watching one today. What was it? Everyone's got one. What is it? No, I guess it was the VR one. Watched that a couple more times. I think it's a little goofy at the end when he becomes like a mannequin, but other than that, it's funny because like
that is a goof. That's a weird moment.
Yeah,
my kids have like this VR headset thing, and like I don't know, it is kind of weird. Like when you put it on, like I actually don't know what to do to make things move. I do know to breathe, but it's a funny concept that like I don't know, he almost died. With the VR headset on.
Yeah.
And it starts off as such a good natured show. I've watched that probably quite a bit too. It's not up to my like top five level, but I think it's pretty funny.
I feel like every season Tim makes a couple sketches for himself.
Yeah, I know.
And that's like, I feel like he likes like the absurdist stuff sometimes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I'm the one we haven't mentioned that I need to watch a couple more times because I know there were moments that I thought were really funny was Dog Hair. I think he generally looks like one of the members of the 90s R&B quartet Color Me Bad. I'll have to reinvestigate that a little more. But I don't know if there's a lot more there. I think I've only watched it twice somehow. I know his friend group was really funny in it. So anyway, that's the one I need to like investigate more.
I agree on that one too. I watched it a couple times over the week. I actually watched it over the weekend. I just love that like they're just involved in normal conversation. And then he comes to the realization, I think during their talk, that his barber must have been looking at a picture of a dog, which is like when he wanted like the Cranston, which the Cranston picture, you don't really get a good look at it, but it just looks like he's throwing away a piece of garbage and he's just got like gray hair. Which I don't even know why, like, why would that ever be the reference point for your haircut? But yeah, it was great.
We didn't talk about banana breath. And tasty time vids. Anything with Connor O'Malley. A couple of rewatches. Because it's gonna be kind of crazy.
I think we have to mention Short Brothers also. That's one that like, very much was in my consideration and I think stood up well on first watch and on rewatches. Biff Whiff is great in it. The concept is,
as always,
great. There's even a little bit of like weird kind of horror, brief horror kind of vibes to it, where he's a little bit like unnerved by, you know, Biff Whiff kind of staring at him and then disappearing and stuff. So I think there's a lot to that one, a lot of depth that I really like.
Yeah, we see. There's a lot more sketches this season that are kind of like longer.
And
a little more abstract.
Promise
me you'll never follow another rule. I mean, that's a hard promise to keep.
Yeah.
All right. I think at this point we'll be safe. To sign out. That's a chunky.
That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown Clown Pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Knights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or a short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine. Again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. go to your happy price, Priceline.